There's no problem. Don't put yourself under pressure. I think we can commence with the proceedings of the meeting of today. Our agenda today is to attend to matters that are relating to tourism as far as the work that is done by SAT is concerned. Before we get into that, we have an agenda before us, honorable members. We have a mover for adoption, Khalifa, seconded by Chairperson. Thank you very much. We have an apology of honorable Peter. He's not feeling well, so he had to go to the doctor. We also have an apology of honorable Mateka. He might leave us in the course of the meeting because of the flu. The honorable Defredas is attending the funeral, so he will join us in the course of the meeting. Those of us who are not used to Cape Town, that they might think, I'm sure it's a weather thing, so we will acclimatize, and by August it should be okay. Otherwise, thank you very much, honorable members. I think we can do just a quick introduction so that we can commence with the proceedings of the meeting. My name is Supra Obakien Maramwelezi Magumapelu. I have been given the responsibility to preside in the position of chairperson of this committee. All things being equal, for the next 5 years. Okay, Chair.
Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, team from SAT, led by the DM. My name is Mizo Makubela Mashele. I'm deployed to the portfolio committee from the African National Congress.
Good morning. Good morning, Chair. My name is Tandukolo Kalimba. I'm deployed to this committee from the African National Congress.
Good morning. My name is Matidiso Melina Gomba, deployed by the African National Congress to serve this committee. Thank you.
I am Temalang Kleko, a member of the committee from the Eastern Cape Province. You know me, I know you. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm Bewane Muteka from Gauteng. I represent the EFF. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Mandla Gallo. I'm representing the African Independent Congress from Matatela, KwaZulu-Natal. You can say Eastern Cape if you like.
Morning, everybody. My name is Greg Kambach. I represent the Democratic Alliance from KwaZulu-Natal, in fact, from Harwick, which is no doubt about the fact that since KZN.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Hlanganani Sibanele Gumbi. I am from KZN, representing the GA.
Good morning. Must now start
the sites with the protocol wise it will be the Honorable Deputy Minister.
No, thanks very much. Good morning, everybody. My name is Fish Mashalela, Deputy Minister of Tourism. We have got a delegation that is led by the Chair of the SAT. They will accordingly introduce themselves.
Thank you very much, DM. Honorable Chair members,
Good morning. My name is Pam Yako. I am the chairperson of the South African Tourism Board, and I would allow the delegation to introduce themselves so that you can please hear their voices.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and members. I am also with the South African Tourism Board. My name is Kate Rivett-Connick.
Honourable Chair and members, good morning. My name is Thembiso Dlamini and I'm the acting CEO for SA Tourism.
Honourable Chair and members, good morning. My name is Nombulelo Kuliwe and I'm the acting Chief Financial Officer.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and members. My name is Amanda Kutsen-Klapo. I am the Chief Convention Bureau Officer and I'm now acting.
Good morning, Honourable Chair. From behind the pillar, I am here. And Honourable Members, DM, good to see you again. Daryl Erasmus, I am the Chief Quality Assurance Officer overseeing the work of the Tourism Branding Council of South Africa, as well as the Brand Experience and Visitor Experience teams at SA Tourism.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, DM. My name is Matia Bohani, I'm the Company Secretary.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Deputy Minister, Members. My name is Bashni Madeya, I'm the Chief Strategy Officer at South African Tourism.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Members, DM. My name is
Paul Masimula. I'm a parliamentary liaison officer for Minister of Science and Minister of Tourism. It's a legacy.
It will fade away over time. Don't worry. Yeah, we are all from there.
Honourable Chair and Honourable Deputy Minister, I'm Lerato Tseko, PLO in the Office of Steering.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members and DM. I am Vianney Bule in the Office of the Minister of Tourism.
Good morning, Chair and Members and Chairperson of the Board, Deputy Minister. I'm Pietro Vanita. I'm the Parliamentary Liaison Officer in the Office of the Director General of Tourism.
Morning, Honourable Chair, Members, and Honourable DM. My name is Lydia Machiche from the Department of Tourism, responsible for tourism statistics.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, DM. Annelie Milan, DDG in the Department of Tourism, but here in my capacity as responsible for entity oversight.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Languta Armstrong Mangani. I'm the Deputy Director responsible for Public Entity Oversight from the Department of Tourism.
Good morning, Chairperson and everyone present. My name is Yabo Ngibi. I'm a researcher and a monitor at the Convention Monitoring Group. Thank you.
I'm Fola Issef. I'm a journalist for the Manufacturing Quarter.
Chairperson, DM, beloved members and everyone, good morning. My name is Busiso Kuzayo, the Coordinating Advisor for the Committee.
Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members and DM. My name is Jerry Baldina. I'm the Committee Secretary and part of the furniture of this committee.
I think everybody has introduced himself and herself. Let's take this opportunity to officially welcome the collective of the department led today here by the Honourable Deputy Minister Mahlalela. Today the department will be accompanied by SAT. We also welcome the chairperson and your collective to this particular meeting. We have already welcomed the collective of the members of the Portfolio Committee on Tourism. Just in brief, Honourable Members, to repeat what we have said yesterday. What will characterize the relationship between the portfolio committee and the department will be a relationship that is informed by the framework of the Constitution of the Republic as our main framework, and we will be relying almost 100% on the Constitution of the Republic. Linked to that will be all other necessary policies and legislations that have been passed. Linked to that will be the work that has been submitted to us by the department and SAT in as far as your annual performance plans, budgets, quarterly reports, annual reports are concerned. Linked to that, it will be the role that must be played by the masses of our people who have got love, interests, and passion for matters of tourism. It will also be NGOs, NPOs, the media. It will be other international bodies that we have to liaise and work with. It will also be the rest of the other relevant departments on the executive wing of the state, through which we will be from time to time checking with the Department of Tourism as to whether those relations are indeed enhancing the type of relationship that must help us to move South Africa forward. We will also provide space to be influenced as a portfolio committee by ideas that will be deposited onto our table by whoever is interested in the agenda of tourism in this particular country. At the end of the day, our responsibility is to promote, safeguard, grow, and defend the brand South Africa as a country. We are at all times very patriotic, so everything we'll do will be about that. But we have also indicated to the department that our oversight will be exciting. It will be incisive. It will not be disruptive. We will also smooth net lab choir, so we will not go to that extent. But we will at all times be very vigilant of the work that the department and SAT are doing, where we need to make sure that we don't become flexible in as far as matters of principle are concerned. We will also make sure that that is manifested through our work. But by and large, the work between yourselves, the department and SAT, and the portfolio committee, in my view, it must be reciprocative. None of us must arrive to a stage where we think that we have got the monopoly of wisdom in as far as matters of tourism are concerned. As living beings, humanity must always understand that we work on improving ourselves all the time until we reach our destination of another world. Those who believe, like myself, that there is another life beyond this one. We have also indicated that we are from different political parties, as you would have heard as we were introducing ourselves. But what informs us, first and foremost, is the interest of the people of South Africa. We will pursue the interest of the people of South Africa unashamedly, without blinking. But we will forever remain humble in the work that we will be doing between ourselves and the department. Over time, over the next 5 years, we'll know each other better. And we hope that tourism can be approached in a manner that will take the economy of South Africa to a much higher trajectory in as far as matters of growth are concerned, to respond to the challenges of poverty, inequality, and unemployment. So in summary, that is what is going to be informing the necessary, as I have said, reciprocative interaction and relationship between the department and the People's Portfolio Committee on Tourism. I'm calling it properly, the chair. The People's Portfolio Committee of Tourism. I like how Oscar says we must call it the People's Portfolio Committee on Tourism. So without wasting time, Honorable Deputy Minister, we are going to hand over to you so that you can then, according to your own sequence, give the responsibility to those who are from the department and SAT to do a presentation. Our request is that we must not compromise quality in the presentation, but we don't want all other details. We don't want all other details. So if you can just make it snappy. And I forgot to thank you, members of SAT, for receiving a message late yesterday that things have changed a little bit and you have been able to come here. That shows commitment, that shows seriousness, not only the extent to which you take work of the portfolio committee, but also the work of yourselves as a collective in the department and South African tourism. Over to you, Honorable Deputy Minister Mashalela.
No, thank you very much, Chair of the People's Portfolio Committee on Tourism. Sir, we thought we should, for the, because it's the first interaction with SAT, we should come and accompany them and officially introduce them to yourself. As you are aware, that SAT has got a mandate, and it was established in terms of the Tourism Act, and its mandate is to ensure that South Africa becomes the preferred destination, the tourism destination in the world. And by so doing, make sure that it maximizes the economic potential of tourism for South Africa and for the people of South Africa as a whole. And therefore, in order to perform this task, it must develop strategies of marketing the country. And therefore, as part of the presentation that they're going to do today, will be to say, as part of the annual performance plan, what are the things that they will be doing in order to market South Africa, so that we are able to move towards the goals that, or the targets that the president have set for us as a country until 2030, that we must double the number of tourists that are visiting South Africa from the 10.5 million that we have currently to 21 million. And therefore, it is the responsibility of SAT to market South Africa in terms of the country's tourism products and facilities, so that we are able to achieve the primary objectives of our government, which is inclusive growth of South African tourist economy in South Africa. In short, the mandate of SAT is first and foremost inclusive economic growth, so that we make sure that there is growth, but it must be inclusive.
and then sustainable creation of jobs, jobs that are sustainable, that needs to be created. And then redistributions, and more importantly, the transformation of the industry, or of the sector. So it's very critical that these are the key mandate of the SAT. But on top of that, it has got the responsibility to, or a custodian to, of business events portfolio, which is your meetings, your incentives, your conference, and your exhibitions, which is nice. But also, it is also responsible for the business units of the grading council. As I've heard that some of the staff were introducing themselves. So they will be able to also maybe in the process of the debate to also begin to engage into the questions that you are raising yesterday around the issue of grading. So that you've got a broader understanding what is the state of South Africa in relation to grading. And why is it compulsory or not compulsory? And what is the future policy perspective going forward in terms of the discussions that are unfolding? They will be able to move towards dealing with those issues as well. But in the process, they will also, the presentation will also cover the performance indicators, tourism performance indicators, in terms of international tourists and domestic tourism, what's happening, what are the performance indicators, and what are the plans going forward so that we're able to make sure that we achieve the goals that we've set ourselves. As reported yesterday by the minister, as you've seen when they were introducing themselves, the CEO, it's on precautionary suspension. Since the first week of April, the board will be able today to indicate what is the process going forward in relation to that matter. As the ministers indicated yesterday, we've raised this as a concern that for more than 3 months now, almost 3 months since the precautionary suspension, the CEO was not charged. Then, so they will be able to indicate what is the process, what are the challenges, and what is the way forward in resolving the matter, because we've given them an instruction that they must urgently finalize this issue. So they will be able to indicate whether there is what process are they engaging upon to finalize the matter, as reported by the minister yesterday. The minister is expecting a report tomorrow, so we're hoping that is from tomorrow, after they've presented the report to the minister, they will be able then to take the process towards its final conclusion as to where are we going on this issue. Yeah, so the chair, I'm sure, she's going to be able to briefly explain what is the plan going forward around resolving that matter. The CFO is in the process of filling that post. It's also on the way. It was done, and on the 11th hour, when the person that was supposed to take the position then declined, I'm sure she was counter-offered. They had to start afresh again. So that's why you still have the acting CFO. That's fine. So basically, that's the introduction, Chair. So we'll then hand over to the Chair, through you, Chairperson, the Chair of the Board, to be the one. Yeah, the Chair of the Board, to be the one then that give a brief introductory remarks, and then from there she will then indicate who will then do the full presentation. As the chair, you've indicated, and the chair has indicated, they did receive the ATP, they did receive the presentation. they've gone through it. So what is important is then the presentation should be able to deal with the basic things that need the attention of the committee. Over to you.
Thank you very much, DM. And once again, good morning to the chairperson and the honorable members. I will be very brief because I think that we should leave much more time for discussion and for engagement with the committee. And Chair, we did wake up as early as we could to be here because we do want to come and account. So we do take Parliament and its role seriously on behalf of the board and the rest of the team. And as I was saying to the chair informally before we started, that the nice thing or the good thing about the experience of we could get onto flights and get to Cape Town and be here on time. And that means the system is working. So we've got the infrastructure. So the country is geared, I think, to make sure that we are welcoming two tourists, both internationally and domestically. However, there might be certain things that are still obstacles that we need to work on and improve on as we do our work forward, our work moving forward. Just a couple of things which I'll touch. I think most of the comments I would have made, the DM has covered, but I just want to highlight just a few points, Chairperson. We did, and it is encouraging in terms of the way you have set up the discussion, because it helps us that we don't, because we're wondering that on the one hand we have to come and talk about the APP and what we're doing, but at the same time it's the sixth parliament and there's a lot we would like to share and that you understand the context in which we're coming from. And so it's always a dilemma in terms of working on how much detail do you provide to set up a context in a first engagement. But we're going to try as much as possible with your guidance, Chair, that if you feel that this is too much detail, please let us know. And we would rather err on the side of providing information, but being fairly cognizant of the fact that it is we would like more time for engagement. The point about the targets that have been set, and the DM has mentioned this, in terms of doubling the numbers. So part of the work that we're trying to do now in moving forward is that how do we achieve that? Both in terms of the existing APP and the work moving forward. And the committee would probably be aware that we've been in the process of implementing what we call the 5 in 5 strategy. So part of the journey that we have to walk now is to make sure that we give the 5 in 5 strategy more impetus in moving forward. And in that regard, we want to focus more, a little bit more on the top key markets moving forward. And in the presentation, we'll deal with what those are. And also domestically. And just to mention that, and from a domestic front, that towards quarter four we saw some improvement. We're not going to rest on our laurels on that. We want to make sure that we get more and more people to travel our own country as South Africans. And we do this, Chair, as you had indicated in your opening remarks, that tourism has to play a role, and we see ourselves as a board in playing a role in ensuring that we grow the South African economy so that we contribute to the other objectives that have been set for the country, and those are poverty, job creation, and reducing inequality. Just a few things that are organizational, Chair, that I feel I should cover based on what was said. Let me start with the board itself. The board has got, at the moment, 12 members. that we've just had a resignation of one board member. So it's a board of 12 members. From a management perspective, we are, as the DM has indicated, the previous CFO finished his work at the end of May, and we had recruited, we had offered the job to someone else, but they turned it down at the last. So we are in the process of recruiting the CFO, as well as the chief marketing officer. That one, Chair, is a bit of a difficult one for the board itself, because we had been trying to recruit and find the right candidate for that position. And as of yesterday, and we had found and made an offer to someone, and as of yesterday, we received information that she has taken a job, it was a she, with the private sector. So we're back to square one. So we're still worried about that. Just the last, but we do the last one, Chair, which the DM has mentioned, is the CEO matter, and the DM has correctly pointed out that the CEO was put on precautionary suspension, and we had to find, because most of the thing came from the TPOF line. So we had to make sure that we get ourselves to do the investigation, which has happened. And as of yesterday, Chair, I can report that that process is finished. And there are certain requirements that we have to follow. And if I beg the committee's indulgence, that we should be conferring with the minister tomorrow on the way forward, and we should be able to have a view publicly on what position is. But I can safely say the report was presented to us, the board, as of yesterday. And then without further ado, I think let me just end this, because I think the team that has been in the organization have been holding the fort, and I'm now going to give hand you over to the acting CEO, who will ably present our report, and assisted by the Chief Strategy Officer. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Chairperson of the Board. Honorable Chair members, Bashir, if we can move to the content. Thank you. Thank you very much for the opportunity to present the 2019-20 financial year annual performance plan as tabled by the Minister of Tourism. The contents of our presentation, I will be responsible for just setting the scene. Immediately hand over to Bashni, who's the Chief Strategy Officer, to take us through the EnviroScan, together with the program and sub-program plans that we have. After Bashni, Nombulelo, the acting CFO, will take us through the finance bits, covering the revenue estimates, budget per program, as well as the budget per economic classification. And then from there, we'll open the floor, and then if there are any further engagements around the National Convention Bureau and Grading Council and Visitor Experience, my colleagues are here to take those questions. To next slide. Thank you, Chair. This slide basically talks about how we have aligned our strategy as a tourism to the development aspirations of the nation. We have obviously, as South African Tourism, together with the board, taken the vision of government as it has been captured in the NDP. We also looked at the entire sector so that we are not standalone, or we don't take into consideration what the entire sector is doing. So we have an approved national tourism sector strategy, which is driven by the department, which pillar one of that strategy is effective marketing, which talks to the mandate of South African Tourism. And having looked at all those, then the South African Tourism Board is guided by the Act, The Tourism Act put together a strike plan for 5 years, which obviously is ending given the new administration. Next slide. The next slide, I think the Deputy Minister covered this slide from a mandate point of view. We have to look at the Tourism Act and look at what needs to be done. What are the choices that we need to make as an agency to ensure that we benefit all South Africans as required by the Act. The three areas which the DM has already covered are, you know, inclusive economic growth, job creation, and obviously the redistribution and transformation, which is a key issue that we're trying to drive as the agency. From looking at the mandate, we then looked at what are the outcomes that we're expecting you know, for the sector. And the six that are captured there is we want to see an increase in tourism volume from the markets that we invest in. We also want to increase the tourism spend because that's how we're going to drive the inclusive economic growth. The other important thing is the length of stay. We want people to increase their length of stay because if they increase the length of stay, it impacts on geographic spread. They are able to travel the country in all the provinces. The other thing is we want to improve seasonality patterns, and seasonality patterns are very important for the sustainability of the sector, so that we're not known as a destination just for a particular season, and then the businesses get sustained through that. And the last outcome we want to see is to promote transformation of the sector. How do we do that, Honourable Chair and members? We invest in prioritised markets and segments. So our team, we've got the team on the ground that is responsible for data, insights, and analytics that looks at what are the prioritised markets that we can focus on, where we can get better returns, and they also do work around segmentation to look at who are the target segments that can give us, have the propensity to travel, particularly in the international space. When it comes to domestic, we want South Africans, all of them, to travel the country. The second area is we've got to build a resilient, a recognized, appealing and resilient brand, because without working on the brand, there is no destination South Africa. So we work with other stakeholders to ensure that we build a recognized brand so that we are competitive out there. The third area is, as an agency, we realize that we can't deliver the mandate of tourism on our own. So we said we need to collaborate with partners so that we can maximize synergies to enhance traveler experience and close sales. Closing sales basically means people do travel at the end of the day. It's not about inspiring them only, but it's about ensuring that they actually book that ticket if it's internationally to travel. Domestically, they get on and travel the country. The two other boxes, Chair and Honourable Members, talk to the agency internally. We have to look at how do we then drive operational efficiency. We all know that we have to be responsible when it comes to government spending. So we look at what are the things that we put in place operationally to ensure that we are efficient in the manner which we deliver our mandate. And also looking at, we play in various jurisdictions. So efficiency is very important because we just don't have those resources to cover everything that we want. And the last part is the men and women who work for the agency, ensuring that they stay inspired because they are the ones who must actually make sure that we deliver the mandate. Next slide. The next slide, Chair, talks to our vision, mission, and the role of and responsibility that both the Chair and the DM have covered what we want to do from an economy point of view. The three areas that we focus on is leisure tourism, people coming for leisure purposes, but also we focus on business events. We've got a national convention bureau that helps us drive that part of the business, and we're responsible for quality assurance. As outlined in the Act, we've got the Tourism Grading Council that does that. This slide is not on the deck that was circulated. However, we felt with the Chair that because it's the first meeting, perhaps we need to just give a sense of where are we investing from a marketing point of view. So this map talks to the leisure tourism. So it's part of the deck. I'm not going to be, because it's not that legible. If we can move, Bashmi. This slide as well, not part of the deck. It just gives a committee a sense of what is our marketing investment choices we make when it comes to business events. The only thing that I want to highlight there is we look at the priority sectors at the bottom of the slide, which is aligned to what government is pushing, but also it's aligned to what we're good at, what we're known for as a country, which is manufacturing, mining and metals and so forth and so on. The slides, this one talks to visitor experience and quality assurance. We looked at quality assurance in four areas. We've got the quality assurance from a star rating point of view. We are responsible for giving the stars, which are recognized worldwide. The second area that we focus on is skills development. We make sure that there is capacity building for at both products, product owners and the industry at large on what needs to be done. But most importantly, we look at how do we capacitate our SMEs to participate within the tourism sector. The third element is market facilitation. It's not enough to just train and give skills development and not create that market access. So one of the things that we do is we run speed marketing sessions at Indaba, one of our platforms that we own, and we ensure that products are ready and they go out there and we give them that market access platform. And the last one is itinerary engineering, because we've realized that as an agency, if we don't play our part in putting together itineraries that would actually give a sense of what the country has to offer when it comes to tourism products, we can't leave it to industry only. So we work with our trade internationally and locally to ensure that we put together itineraries which are informed by research and the data and the insights that we have. We thought we need to mention the three own platforms. So as South African Tourism as an agency, we own two platforms. The third one being the Lizela Tourism Awards. These awards are owned by the department, but South African Tourism is an implementing agency of those awards. The first, which is Meetings Africa, has to do with our business events industry, where we create that platform for people to come to meet Africa first and then South Africa. And also we showcase the capability that we have as a continent and as a country to host meetings.
Okay. I just wanted to check. I don't know whether the presenter is far ahead of me alone, because I'm missing those slides in my presentation.
Yeah. From here, actually, it will be the same. Like the chair had said in her opening, she felt that we needed to put together information that would help with the rest of the presentation. So these, the three, four slides were added. I'll take.
So there are some we don't have. There are some we have.
Yeah. So I'll indicate which one.
Yes. So. She will do that in the course of the presentation. But it's good that you raised it, Honorable Member, so that we don't assume that we are on the same wavelength. Yeah. Okay, Ungakuba, yeah.
We in the presentation that was circulated to members, we didn't include the macro structure. This is just to show how we are configured to deliver this mandate. If you look at it, it's structured in the way the APP has been presented from a program point of view. Next slide. So this slide, from now on, all the slides that are in there are what all the members have. And I do apologize for that, Chair. This slide, we now, the chairperson of the board has already mentioned that in 2017 we put together an enhanced strategy for growth for tourism, where we have set ourselves a goal of increasing our base from 10 million, we increased it by 5 million arrivals, 4 million of those 5 million being international and 1 million being domestic. So that's a goal that we had set ourselves from 2017 to 2021. So out of that strategy, we now have entered the third year of the implementation of the strategy. supporting the implementation are those six strategic objectives, the first one being to contribute to inclusive economic growth by increasing the number of international and domestic tourism. So you'll see when the Chief Strategy Officer takes us through the KPIs, there will be certain KPIs that will deal with that objective. The second part is on the brand building point of view. We do realize and appreciate the fact that we compete with various destinations which are far more appealing in terms of perceptions of tourists. So we have to continuously work together with our stakeholders to build a brand that is resilient and competitive. The third area I've already mentioned is around stakeholder and partnership collaboration, both with industry and other businesses, to ensure that we deliver the tourism mandate. The fourth element is around improved tourist experience in line with the brand promise. We've seen that it's one thing to go out there and say, we promise you, if you come to our destination, these are the things that you will experience. We've got to do work here to ensure that we fulfill that brand promise and we enhance visitor experience. The fifth one is we're positioning South African tourism as a corporate brand. Earlier on, the chairperson of the board was talking about recruitment. People we want to try and ensure that we become an employer of choice and people look at SA Tourism as that appealing brand. But also position ourselves as a thought leader within the tourism industry, ensuring that you know, the sector relies on SA Tourism for thought leadership, intelligence, insights, and analytics to grow their businesses. And the last one is around operational efficiencies, including human capital, marketing, and other resources that are made available to SA Tourism. The next slide talks to how we've taken the goal and shared it with, obviously, our provincial tourism authorities. Because as SA Tourism, we don't operate alone. Provinces play an important role. We've got provincial tourism authorities together with the industry. We've taken the 5 in 5, looking at the source markets, and analyzed what is the distribution market. So each and every province has got markets which they focus on. So this slide was just to give honorable members and chair that South African Tourism works very closely with the provincial tourism authorities together with the industry. The next slide, Chair, just gives context in terms of the strategy that we had put in place for 5 years. We are behind, like the Chair said, in achieving our goal. If you look at where we are right now on an international front, we are 10% of the 5-year target, hence the strategy of turnaround, to turn around the situation was put together. From a domestic point of view, we are not doing well as well, but we have put in place a turnaround strategy to look at that. The last slide that I'm going to, before I hand over to Bash News, the Chief Strategy Officer, to take us through part two, is just the headline tourism performance indicators for 2018. It just gives you a sense of the areas that we said are our outcomes, which is the number of trips spent, length of stay, bed nights, and geo spread. If you look at domestic total trips now, not holiday, we've seen an increase of about 12.7%, and with the holiday trips as well. If you look at our performance in terms of domestic holiday for the last quarter of the financial year, we've seen growth, which is good. Is a thing that we want to leverage and grow further. From an international point of view, that's where when we didn't meet our targets for 2018, we got 10.4 million, which was a drop when we compared to our 2017 performance. And the plan that was put together is to address some of the key markets that we need to drive from a growth point of view. Chair, I'm going to hand over to Bashir to rush through the presentation from the EnviroScan to the program performance and KPIs, and then Nombolelo will take it over on the finances. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honourable Members, CEO. So from the environment EnviroScan, so just going into a little bit more detail from the CEO's perspective, the slide that shows the snapshot performance of international tourism arrivals for the financial year 18-19. As the CEO said, we experienced a decline of 0.6%, which equates to about 10.4 million arrivals. Our growth target for the year was 6.5%. As the CEO mentioned, we did not meet our target. In terms of the geographic spread of those arrivals, I'll flip to the next slide, it shows it probably a little bit clearer. If you look at this by region, the areas that we received growth last year was North America, which grew by 1.2%, Central and South America by 3.2%, and Africa by 0.5%. Those are the three regions that helped us stop a bit of the losses that we recorded. Europe was down 5.7%, the Middle East, off a smaller base, was down 14%, Asia 0.7% down, Australasia down 1.8%, and Indian Ocean Islands as well. If we look at on the next slide, the key issues that are impacting our international performance, we've just summarized this year, it is detailed in the annual performance plan. But these are some of the challenges that we face, and our research has indicated these negative perceptions around the country that are deterrents to international tourism. Safety and security concerns being one of the negative perceptions, arguably one of the bigger perception issues that we deal with. The water crisis that happened now, I mean, it seems like quite a long time ago, but towards the end of 2017, when the water crisis affected South Africa, it really did impact the travel patterns or the booking patterns of key international markets to South Africa. So the booking patterns are typically between 6, 12, maybe even 18 months in advance when people are booking their trips. And unfortunately, when the crisis hit, it negatively impacted the booking period for travel in that period. So we were negatively impacted for most of 2018, and we started seeing an upturn actually only now in the second calendar quarter of 2019 is when the pattern seems to be reversing in some of the key markets. Inappropriate interaction with wildlife, these are some of the issues that come up in some of the markets. I can think of Australia particularly where it comes up as a key issue, and that's something we need to look at addressing. And then the debate around land expropriation without compensation and how this was incorrectly translated in global media, but the negative perceptions that followed on the back of that on South Africa as a destination. The other challenges we face is around visa, and it's really we're looking at the visa processing challenges that we face, particularly in India, China, New Zealand, and Nigeria. These are big deterrent to travel from these markets to South Africa. And we're particularly looking at delays in processing time, inconsistent requirements, and the submission of visa documents in some of these markets. In Nigeria, for example, a traveler is required to visit the VFS center twice. Firstly, to book an appointment for a visa application, and secondly, to return to apply for the visa. And this now adds in terms of complexity for traveling to South Africa, so you're now not as attractive compared to destinations that are visa-free or offer visa on arrival. South Africa is also, as a result, facing intense competition from many countries that are moving towards visa facilitation, either visa-free status or visa on arrival. From a domestic perspective, on the next slide, and we've looked at this, we've had a 12.7% growth in total domestic trips, which equates to about 18.7 million domestic trips in total. Holiday trips of this, domestic holiday trips, is 3 million that we achieved in the 18-19 financial year. We missed our target despite the growth that we achieved. Our target was 3.1 million. From a MICE tourism perspective, MICE tourism accounts for about 8% of total domestic tourism. It was sitting at about 1.5 million trips. From a headline tourism, domestic tourism performance on the next slide, I think just to look at this and just say broadly, domestic tourism is comprised largely of what we call VFR travel, travel to visit friends and relatives. That accounts for the biggest portion of domestic trips. And in the financial year 18-19, that's about 78% of total domestic trips. Holiday trips accounted for about 16%.
And if you look at the table on the bottom right, we look at the trips to each province, and we can see that Limpopo is the biggest recipient of domestic travel, followed by Gauteng, and then KwaZulu-Natal. Those are the top three destination provinces, if I can use it that in that way, for domestic tourism. From an SANCB, the National Convention Bureau of South Africa, the performance in this regard. So the nature of the work in this space focuses around supporting bids for hosting business events that are either meetings, incentive conferences, etc. But supporting these bids for South Africa to host these international events. In the financial year, we supported, we submitted 109 bids for international events. The bidding submission process is a long process. So at the end of the financial year, of the 109 that we submitted, 21 were won, 3 were lost, and 61 we are still pending an outcome. The table also just shows you that 60 of those bids were for association meetings, 23 for incentives, 16 were for exhibitions, and 10 were for corporate meetings. In terms of the, I'll just focus on the chart below and looking at the submissions and where the possible locations are, what the geographic spread would be. Is that a large number of the bids submitted were to be hosted in Cape Town, followed by Johannesburg, Durban. But you see a lot of other cities and towns coming through as well. And you can see that there's also an introduction of multi-city bids that are also supported. From the next slide, we're looking at tourism grading and the performance around quality assurance and grading of establishments. As at the end of March 2019, there were 5,147 graded establishments that we have on book, so to speak. This was about a 2% growth compared to the same period in 2018. So if we look at the lodges, we had the highest increase in the number of lodges that were graded in the period, followed by conference venues, meeting venues. And then also hotels. Gauteng had the largest increase from a provincial perspective in the number of graded establishments, followed by the Northern Cape, Limpopo, and Free State. If I move on to the strategic focus areas for South African tourism for the 1920 financial year, to go very quickly through these, let's just list the areas of particular strategic focus for us. Is one is around collaboration with other government departments, particularly to look at how we can better utilize existing platforms where we could actively address the issues that impact tourism growth and have a place to table and address these issues. To look at also strengthening our relationship with Brand South Africa, as well as our collaboration with the provincial tourism authorities. This has been in place. We have a good relationship with provincial tourism authorities, but to improve, strengthen it through the implementation and monitoring of MOUs that we have already in place that has been signed by provinces. Another area of focus for us is what we've called our We Do Tourism movement. The goal here is to illustrate to South Africans and the South African industry at large, not even the tourism industry, business, and even in the neighborhoods, the value of tourism to all South Africans. And the idea here is to refresh a campaign that was conceptualized, launched in 2017-2018, to refresh and execute the campaign with the aim of ultimately getting all South Africans to rally behind tourism. After all, tourism is everybody's business. From a third perspective, it's about positioning the entity as a thought leader in or an industry leader in market intelligence, insights, and analytics. And in this area, it's really about looking at building business tools, developing business tools that can better disseminate intelligence and insights. As part of our phase one, we have launched a prototype dashboard
that is currently available to a closed group of people. We are working as we speak on that, making that available publicly through our website. Implementing an event strategy on the next slide. South African Tourism developed an event strategy which is designed to assist us in growing tourism and improving geographical spread and seasonality. The key highlight is that the strategy focuses on countrywide events that will be implemented through partnerships, and you'll see some examples of this. The event strategy will also involve close collaboration with the provincial tourism authorities. And then another strategic focus for us is driving transformation within the industry through a dedicated enterprise and supplier development program. South African Tourism has developed a framework, and the implementation of this framework is underway. If I move on quickly to part B and the annual and quarterly targets. With your permission, I will go through the first two slides, which is a bit of a summary of this, and then just very quickly through the other ones that will focus on the annual targets. The summary of the KPIs is linked to five programs that we have listed in our APP, program one being corporate support. We're linking to the strategic objectives that the acting CEO referred to earlier on. And the list of the KPIs we're looking at in corporate support are largely around staff satisfaction, turnover rates, vacancy rates, compliance with the Employment Equity Act, the status of our audits. We're looking for unqualified audits again, and LBE levels achieved. From a business enablement perspective, here we're looking at really around our engagement with the industry at large, and here we're looking at our at quarterly stakeholder meetings and annual national stakeholder meeting, also looking at the dissemination of quarterly insights reports as well as the launch publicly of our tourism performance dashboard. In program three, which is our biggest program arguably, leisure tourism marketing, there's a number of KPIs we look at here, and these are to run through them quickly in terms of the number of international tourist arrivals we're looking at, their total direct spend, so how much these tourists spend directly in South Africa as our contribution to the economy. The global impressions from digital channels, as you know, South African Tourism does marketing across a number of channels, and digital being one of the key mediums of marketing for us, and looking at how many impressions we've achieved. The number of South African specialist graduates. Now, SA Specialist is a trade training platform. It's a tool that South African Tourism has developed that allows us to train travel agents, tour operators around the world on South Africa, what do we have on offer, basic information so that they are able to better sell us to their consumers who are looking for holidays to South Africa. And here we're looking at the number of travel agents and tour operators of trade that have actually graduated or completed the training program. Geographic spread, so we're looking at improving geographic spread of international tourists and the seasonality of international tourists. We're also looking at improving our brand positivity as well as our brand awareness in tourism. We have similar KPIs for domestic tourism, so we have those that look at international, but from a domestic perspective, we're looking at the number of holiday tourists, the number of revenue generated from holiday trips, the reach of our domestic marketing campaigns, the click-through rates from our domestic packages. So just to explain a bit, through our domestic marketing campaigns, we have people visit or drive people to our website, and on our website, on our Showflex website, we have a deals page, which is where the travel trade lists their packages. As you know, we don't actively sell the packages, but we create the platform, so we would want to have more people click through to those packages as a measure of conversion. Geographic spread, seasonality as well. We're also looking at SMME attendance at our South African Tourism Trade Show platforms. So outside of Meetings Africa and Indaba that the acting CEO referred to, South African Tourism participates in a few international trade shows globally, and we look at and we support, as part of our market access program, SMME attendance here. We also look at SMME participation in our hosting activities.
a key activity for South African tourism is around hosting familiarization trips of media and particularly travel trade internationally that don't know South Africa, so we host them on a trip to South Africa where we showcase what is on offer through itineraries that have specifically been designed that talk to the insights and what consumers want in each of those markets. We host trade on in South Africa on this, and through this hosting activity is to include a lot more SMME products and experiences in our hosting activities. From a business events perspective, program four, we're looking at the number of business events hosted. So as I mentioned earlier on, we support bids. These bids, we push for them to be translated. We win the bids, we get the events. We want to increase the number of business events hosted. And linked to that is the number of international delegates that attend these events. We then look at the action that we do, which is around supporting bids and looking at this in terms of both regional in Africa as well as international business events. We're looking at the number of qualified leads generated. And then from our platforms, our own trade platforms, is looking at the number of meetings that are held at Indaba and at Africa's Travel Indaba and at Meetings Africa. These are trade platforms. These are platforms we arrange as South African Tourism to bring together the products, the tourism products and experiences on offer in the country, and create and invite the world to visit South Africa and where transactions can take place. So these meetings are a good measure of success. And we also look at the number of international market access platforms that we attend globally. From a program five, which is tourist experience, we look at the number of graded accommodation establishments, the number of graded rooms. We're also looking at the number of officials that have attended our welcome training program. And this is important as part of visitor experience that we do demonstrate South Africa as a welcoming destination. As an example, in the last financial year, we partnered with Foreign Affairs and we did a welcome training program and a campaign at a few of our border posts. Three land borders and the three international airports. Training of the Home Affairs, the immigration officials, on being a lot more welcoming and the importance of tourism in their role. And then we look at the number of speed marketing sessions we have to promote tourism products. And this is very much on a national scale where we actually have a lot of new products coming in and in a very quick, I think it's 2 minutes or 5 minutes, 5 minute session, you've got to sell your product to other people in the room and be able to very quickly pinpoint what exactly is unique about your product and why should we include it, and we look at it across a range of experiences. Chair, for each of these indicators, I won't go through all of the details, but the next few slides actually then talk to what the actual target is for each of, under each program, which are the KPIs, which are annual KPIs, which are quarterly KPIs, and what the targets for each of those are. I'll then move over and hand over to Nombolelo to take us through the finance section. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, as Nombo, our target is to have the presentation wrapped up by our first 11. So that we can then give some time for engagement for an hour at least.
Okay.
So that we should be done by the first 12, somewhere there. Yeah. Okay, as Nombo.
Thank you, Chair. On slide 34, the finances. The first slide, which talks to revenue over the MTF. I think I'm not going to focus on comparative figures and audited figures. I'll focus on the year under review, which is 1920, because that's the financial resources that we have to support our annual performance plan. So in terms of the financial year 1920, our total budget available or financial resources available is 1.5 billion rand, and you'll see that we've got different revenue streams. But our biggest, where we get our funding from, or our biggest revenue stream comes from our entity allocation, which accounts for 81% of our funding, as well as the voluntary tonsa levies, which accounts for 9% of our funding
and then the rest is made out of exhibition income, creating fees, and as well as fund revenue. I will then move to how we invest with the next slide, slide 35. So the 1.5 million that I already spoke to in terms of how much we generated in 1920 is allocated in terms of our programs which support our strategic objectives. So our biggest line item, which Basmini also touched on, is program 3, where we allocate 71% of our total budget. Out of that, program 3 talks to the investment we make in international as well as domestic marketing. So 71% of the 1 billion rand that you see there is for international marketing, and the remainder for our domestic marketing. The rest of the funding is across different programs. So program 1, which talks to strategic objectives 6, gets 185 million rand. Program 2, which talks to strategic objectives 3 and 5, gets 89.7 million rand. I think I've highlighted program 3. Program 4, which talks to strategic objective 1 and 2, was allocated 137.7 million rand. And our last one, which is program 5, which talks to our strategic objective 4, is allocated 68.7 million of our total budget. The last slide, I'm not going to, I think I'll just highlight what it is about, and I'm not going to go into detail because these numbers are currently being audited. So I think it's best we have the conversation when it's time for the annual report. But basically, the purpose of the slide was to demonstrate current actual versus budget variances, so for the 18-19 financial year. And like I said, we'll talk to it when it's audited and we have final numbers. Thank you.
I think she deserves a hand. Yeah, I know I put you a little bit under pressure, but I can see that you know your work very, very well. You were able to, in a very crispy way, do a presentation. Deputy Minister, thank you very much. Honourable members, it's now over to you to interact with the presentation. Okay, we'll start here and at the corner there. So yeah, we'll start with you, Honorable. I must learn how to pronounce your surname correctly. Krumbo. Yes, Krum. Oh, it's Crumbs and Springbok. Ah, that is very easy. Thank you very much, Honorable Members.
I've had that problem for 59 years, Chair, so don't worry.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, can I start, Chair, because you obviously are new to the committee, and just thank the department for the time they put up on the entry after 6 years of badgering. Advertising the Nelson Mandela capture site in my constituency in Howick, and I see as a prep that you put on the front page of the SAT presentation. And I mean, I'm serious. It was a good example of inter-party cooperation and looking to do the right thing by a country which characterizes this committee in which you emphasized yourself yesterday. So I think that was a good thing for South Africa and for honoring my leader's legacy, and I'm grateful that we listened and we worked across party lines to achieve that. And I think it is making a difference in boosting tourism in that area. I'd like to look at the international tourism on page 13 and 14. And I think we are aware the bulk of our international arrivals, around about three quarters, are from Africa. And that's one of the only markets that has shown a growth other than the Americas in the period under review. The problem, of course, is that our biggest market, with the exception of Angolans, excuse me, often have a lot of petrodollars to spend. It's predominantly from the SADC countries, such as Swaziland, Zimbabwe, Mozambique. And much of that visitation, which is defined as tourism, is actually shopping.
for the weekend, where people come in and spend some money and go back again. And so our figures are a little bit clouded by that phenomenon, also because that particular metric forms such a high proportion of the total tourism. So if we are to look for increasing foreign currency and high spenders, it is more the Northern Hemisphere countries, in particular India and China, which I think my colleague Honorable Gombe will refer to in a moment. But it does worry me that in established markets like North America and Europe, we still are experiencing declines in tourism where there's a lot of euros and dollars which go a very, very long way, bearing in mind the weakness of our currency. And I know that SA Tourism constantly watches these markets and finds ways to make a relatively limited budget compared to our long-haul competitors, stretch as far as possible, and they also are subject to currency fluctuations, which means I often have to take out forward cover or book advertising in advance. But I wondered whether there has been, now that we're in the start of a new term of Parliament, any fresh thinking by SA Tourism as how we can leverage our country into these more lucrative markets where the numbers of tourists might only constitute a quarter of our total, but the money that they spend compared to some of our SADC country visitation is quite significant. And then on that particular point, my last question, your slide on page 14 about the factors impacting on our international tourist arrivals is interesting. But what I would like to ask through you, Chairperson, is that could we have SAT furnish us the document simply quantifying these aspects? I take your points about the negative coverage overseas. I know one of the Australian cabinet ministers and President Trump in America has some very harsh things to say about expropriation of compensation. And as you point out, not all of the coverage we got overseas was helpful, to put it mildly. But you also mentioned inappropriate wildlife interaction, and that's a new thing for this committee. We've never had, I take it you mean canned hunting and stuff like that, which damages our credibility as a country that has an ethical form of wildlife conservation. Now, I mean, there's many people, and that's a growing phenomenon in the world, and indeed in our country, where people are more and more voicing their concerns. And of course, it's another example, Chairperson, of the cross-cutting nature of this portfolio, because very recently we've increased the export quota for certain animal bones, right? And that's an environmental issue. This is tourism, but it does hurt tourism when the world gets the impression that we're farming animals for culling and for export in that way. So what I would like to ask you, Chair, is can you take this slide, and you've mentioned four negative perceptions and a challenge being the visas. Would it be possible for you to quantify that? Is it possible that one or two of these things could be the main drivers, and others are less important, or is it fairly evenly spread amongst these factors? I don't know, because there isn't a number here, and I think this is the committee that runs on numbers. It might be that a particular aspect is not a very big driver of the negative perceptions, but it could be something which is growing, and you might expect that particular aspect to grow. So I think also what I'd like to ask is, can you give us a little qualitative analysis? This is under control, it's not a control, this is expected to get better, or it's expected to get worse. So to get a feel going forward as to what the important drivers are of the negative perceptions, because it does hurt our brand positivity overseas, and we've kept stats on that for many years, and that if something is likely to become an even bigger and bigger problem, it can actually empower this committee and the ministry to engage with our counterparts in the other departments and other portfolios that might be affected, so we can work in a positive and constructive way to address those concerns. So that's a request, Chair, for further information. I'd like you to support that if you would. I think it's a reasonable thing that enables us to do our job. Thanks so much. Yeah, I think that one will support without any waste of time. Honorable Motek, I know you want to go to the doctor. So you will indicate, would you speak after Honorable Gombe, or you want to come in now? Okay, over to Honorable Motek. Then you will follow Honorable Gombe.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think I will deal with slide 14, because I think that's the main. Influencing factor to our tourism. I think we need facts, Chairperson. We need facts supporting the previous speaker with numbers, tangible numbers, because to say a debate on land is chasing tourists away, to me it's just a perception. Because tourist doesn't come here to own land or to do anything with land. He's here to enjoy himself or to visit people. What the peaceful and constitutional debate, how does it chase a tourist away? Unless the tourist have got a hidden agenda, not that we know of. Peaceful constitutional debate. How can it chase visitors away? So these things need to be put in a factful manner, well researched, and then we know exactly if these are really the causes of those things. Because if we have these causes, we need to act on them so that we don't have the problems of visitors not coming to our country. But we cannot do away with peaceful and constitutional engagement to do away with the legacy of the past. Things like that. So issues like water crisis, we want to know, is it the quality of water or what? Those things. You can't just say water crisis. Is it quality of water, or they can't go to the rural areas because there's no water, or which is a fact. But at the same time, going to the rural areas to see what? Because the department hasn't done anything to the villages that can attract tourists. So the issue of water should be around quality or something, taste. We must know what is it about. Yeah, safety is. It's understandable. Everybody, where there is crime or death. But maybe to take an example, we are saying, we see Western Cape, let's say Cape Town, is more visited and routing. If I still got that memory correct, and improve or something. But when you look at the amount of killings happening within the Western Cape, more especially here in the Cape Metro, it's too much. It's every day. Cape floods, people are killing each other every day. But you still find Cape Town attracting people. So we must also look at what is this thing of safety and security? What can we do? All those things. In other words, the point I'm trying to arise on is let's quantify, let's research, and bring a proper report so that we don't just think. Because really the first one, to me, doesn't end at all. It doesn't end. Otherwise, we'll be told how to run our country as anything. Or how to fix our problems. Chairperson, again on slide 16, I want to know what influences the tourists to go to visit Limpopo more than other provinces. Because it happened in the previous financial year 1718, and then it happens again in 1819. What influences this thing? What is that people want to go and see in Limpopo? That is not in KwaZulu, that is not in Northern Cape, that is not in Northwest. Come again?
Moria.
Okay. Yeah, but I think that comes to my mind now. that's the biggest in Africa, if not the world. Okay, then it's fine. But they will answer officially. Okay. So, okay, what is the result, the returns of those things? Because also now, just measuring number of people coming, let's check how are they contributing to the economy and all those things.
I'm
finishing now.
Okay, no problem.
Okay, the last thing is the grading performance methods. Because we are learning, this is the first meeting, people must understand, some of us were new in this committee. These gradings, they show not from kids, as on slide 80, that they show not from kids to do it better in terms of submitting, what you call it, in terms of submitting the grading, whatever. But the Northern Cape, when going back to 16, is doing the worst in terms of being visited. We just need explanation there so that we can be able to know. Then going forward, we'll have quality engagement because we're all now in the same understanding. Thanks very much.
Okay, Honorable Muteka, Honorable Gumbit.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I've got four questions. One or two you might excuse, Chair, because they were in part asked to the departments, but I'd like the understanding of SA Tourism and their opinions on it. So the first question is around the closing of sales internationally, as you spoke about, and your interaction with embassies abroad. From what came out of the departments, what I've seen is that there are different experiences with different embassies or missions abroad in terms of like what benefits you get out of it. But if you could just please run me through some of the main relationships that you have and how they work out and what are the main benefits or some of the things that are not happening. So for instance, in my mind, what pops up, you know, I'm young, there's a Durban July this weekend, I'm from KZN, I'm going to be at the Durban July, but I'm wondering to what extent, for instance, does something such as the Durban July feature in terms of marketing on the international stage in your role as SA Tourism. The second question is around visas. Now, you've got India and China, which is obviously significantly high populations, and we would want many of them to come and visit our country. I mean, a small portion of Indian and Chinese people, is a significant amount of people to come to South Africa. But you said there that there are visa challenges in processing these. Now, I don't know if I'm mistaken. In part of having the BRICS arrangements has got to do with the easier flow of people between all our countries. And I mean, I wanted to go to Brazil, for instance. And I know I don't require a visa. I get there. I don't know if I just get one on arrival or I just arrive at the airport and then that's sorted out. But perhaps maybe just tell me what is the experience maybe of, I'm particularly worried about those two countries, India and China, when they want to get a visa coming to South Africa. And two, what would SA Tourism like the experience to be? So when somebody from India wants to come, what exactly is the process or experience that SA Tourism would like that specific person to have? Do they get it when they arrive? Do they just walk in? Do they? Three, with regards to what are the current grading fees at the moment? if you want to get graded. There was talk about the fact that we in the previous parliamentary term, they were looking to move into a system of grading being for free, but then everybody is graded because of the net benefit of everybody getting graded. Then there was a capacity challenge which was brought forward to say that there is a capacity challenge. I don't know if SA Tourism believes there is one. But I'm trying to have an understanding about how then did the grading fee drop down to 500 Rand as a sort of discounted grading fee. Because to me, 500 Rand is still actually a lot of money. Because if you've got a home and you want to convert three or so bedrooms, you know, you don't have much money, you want to do transformation in the sector, all of that, you want to drop down the costs of being able to be an establishment as much as possible. So how did you get to that 500 Rand? And how often are institutions graded? So how often do you have to be graded to maintain a certain grading? And then the last question is, what does SA Tourism think of Airbnb? And that's all.
Thanks, Honorable Gumbi. Honorable Keko, followed by Honorable Gumba Gumba.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon, everyone. Let me finish by appreciating the presentation by the delegation as led by the Deputy Minister. Chair, let me first highlight the fact that it will be important for us as a committee to invite the Tourism Trading Council and also the Tourism Business Council so that each one of us understands their mandate better. And also the importance of us visiting one of the visa processing centers. It may be the best practicing and the worst practicing. But it's key that as a committee we visit those centers. Let me go to page 10 of the presentation, Chair. Let me not talk about pages because I don't speak clearly. Let me just talk about what I have highlighted, Chair. With regards to domestic tourism, we appreciate the improvement. But Chair, I just wanted to check how data is collected with regards to domestic tourism. I'm comfortable my concern is around the VF, visiting friends and family, that one, and the other. Because when you talk about the other, they may on holidays and whatever, they somewhere where a person has to sleep, so you may count using that method because he's going to sleep somewhere. Is it by sampling or there is a specific method that is applied? Let me also acknowledge the issue on when they highlighted the importance of collaboration with other departments. It must be collaboration and coordination of other departments and role players. Because as SAT or as Department of Tourism, you don't own these destinations, but there is something they end up being destinations of choice to tourists. You don't own them. It is the Department of Assets, whoever is busy with them, whoever owns them, whoever passes laws and bylaws that will affect tourists. So that collaboration and coordination becomes key. Because as a department or as an entity, you don't have power over other spheres of government. Yours is to coordinate and have those working relations that will end up having good destinations. The other thing is, with regards to grading, we are vouching for increase in the basket of benefits. In that basket, there must be more benefits so as to entice whoever is a tourist. You have to entice in order to increase the number of visitors. I see that the 5 in 5 strategy is becoming to bear fruit, that there is an increase in domestic tourism. What may be the reason in the decrease with regards to international tourists? Maybe the negative publicity by ourselves. It may be by ourselves. We talked of day zero. There was never a day zero, but it was just a way of sensitizing South Africans. But it was said the other way. I don't know what scares tourists with regards to. I don't agree with my other colleague the way he has put it. But I don't know what scares when we talk about land expropriation without compensation, because the president did manage what we said. He said all what is done with regards to land expropriation must be done responsibly. So that responsible means no one must be scared. It's the way the public, the media put it in the public space. What has been pronounced by the government to say the safety and security is shifted to another cluster, that is the economic cluster, that must be in the public space by the media, because it means we're very serious about the safety of our tourists. It must be there in the media space. I think no responsible citizen can say his or her own country is a high-risk area. That's very reckless to say that. So what the minister suggested yesterday, I think, was a good move to say she's gonna build relations with whoever, for whatever reason, but that may have good results. Let me stop the chair. Oh, the window tourism thing. I think that campaign also is assisting with regards to domestic tourism, because as much as you have a responsibility to market South Africa internationally, you must do more inside the country so as to have more South Africans understanding their own country. Let me stop. If there's something else, I'll come again. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity, and good morning. Chair, I just have a few questions, but this is about the FMLEs, because this is where I think we need to concentrate on to balance the or to deal with transformation part of it. I want to find out about issues which may not be on the presentation, but they are about tourism, which is about the TEA, Emerging Tourism Entrepreneur of the Year, which I know is one of the programs that is run by the province, all the provinces of South Africa, in order to ensure that we have SMEs that are put at a certain level. And normally, I believe that they are encouraged to go to ITB. I think you know what is ITB, as well as WTT and Indaba. The WTT, the London exhibition. Is it WTT or WTM? Yes, WTM, I remember. WTM. And the Indaba, which is the 7th one. I just want to find out if we still have that happening, and why is it only people who participated in the ETEA program who are only given those opportunities to go and do exhibitions, but not identifying other SMEs who may be possible big businesses tomorrow. It is very limited, and it means it will grow SMEs at a very slow pace. So my request is to find out why are we only empowering those ones who participated in the Emerging Tourism Entrepreneur of the Year only for ITB and the rest. And the other roadshows that I have realized that in the tourism industry are not visible. We don't have roadshows that are visible to the communities I'm not sure whether it's a national department or even provinces, but we don't see them. Even in the last red show, I never saw any tourism road show in the red show itself. Normally we see the tents showing a number of bed and breakfast, but this particular previous year, we've never seen a number of bed and breakfast being exhibited there. I want to also find out about the marketing material. I remember very well there was TEP, Tourism Enterprise Propeller, which is the one of your stakeholders that normally used to assist SMEs with the marketing material. And I don't see it happening now. Let's find out if you have other stakeholders that are assisting at the agencies, all your SMEs, where they can go to get more assistance in terms of marketing material and funding. The other one is the 2010 bed and breakfast, which were encouraged and supported only at the time, and others were not even supported. Is there any support to resuscitate those businesses? Because since they invested their money for the 2010 soccer, what that happened, but thereafter they were dumped by our own Department of Tourism. While the invested monies and others are still owing the bank today with the hope of growing, are we resuscitating them to ensure that they are also surviving through those businesses and those businesses are sustainable? Coming to the visa delays and in processing, I just want to find out if the department raised the matter with the relevant minister to ensure that this issue of delaying the processing of the visas is dealt with, or it's just a matter of consent and that was not even pushed to the level of actually giving it an attention. There has been this big hotel adoption of small hotel or small small SME hotels for mentoring and also for sharing ideas. Do we still have that program? I know you should be getting such reports from provinces. They may not be your matters, but maybe if you are aware of them, can we also get progress based on that? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kumba Kumba. Honorable Kalu?
Yeah,
he prefers you like it that way. Honorable Kumba Kumba.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Let me start somewhere before I go to your slide 13. President Ramaphosa indicated that he would like South African Airways to reestablish its direct route between South Africa and India. He made the announcement during a roundtable discussion earlier this year with the business leaders and government officials from both South Africa and India. I just wanted to check as to what steps have been taken by SAE Tourism to ensure that this process is fast-tracked. Perhaps it would assist in terms of mobilizing the visitors from the continent countries. Going to your slide, I know it might not fall under your jurisdiction as a tourism, but I was just interested whether the SA Tourism is able to lobby other departments in that regard. The SA Tourism acknowledges some of the challenges, for instance, coming to your personal insecurity, water crisis, so on and so forth. I just want to check as to whether SA Tourism has alerted the government for the department concerned about these challenges. And it has also been indicated in one of the slides, if I'm not mistaken, that SA Tourism must open the debate about exploring other routes such as the US to expand our tourism footprints. Has the SA Tourism started lobbying the relevant stakeholders to explore other routes? Rural tourism, Honorable Chair, doesn't feature at all in the plan. Which programs are currently in place to empower emerging rural setups or startups in the tourism sector? Does your strategy speak to rural tourism, domestic tourism, for instance, in the Northern Cape? Are not impressive. How are you going to change this anomaly? If I may be assisted, I'm new in this committee chair, and when I was told that I will serve in this committee, I was a little bit reluctant. But now I'm becoming very much interested in this committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Gallo. Honorable Sithole, followed by Honorable Peter.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. First of all, we must appreciate the presentation from both of the presenters. My Chairperson, the first one is on slide number 14, Chair. I'm worried about this visa challenge. So now what I'm trying to check when they talk about inconsistent requirements and submission of visa document, where are the delays? The delays are in Department of Home Affairs, or we have a challenge of incompetent staff in Home Affairs, or what is happening? Then what I want to find out the ITR, the role of ITR between the Department of Tourism and the Department of Home Affairs, because we have to establish what is the challenge there. And the other one, Chairperson, is that thing of Nigeria. I'm worried because most people that went to Nigeria, they always get frustration from their visa system and the structuring of their visas. So now I'm trying to check why is that there are laws which cause the confusion when you go to Nigeria, or is the people of Nigeria which are stubborn to actually help other countries. And other one, Chairperson, is slide number 18. I'm worried about the declines in KZN. I'm trying to find out what cause of the declines in KZN, because if you check on this one, KZN declines were driven by BNP. It means that they don't have BNP, or what is happening in KwaZulu-Natal, which you can unpack there. And the last one, Chairperson, is on slide number 25. I don't know, Chairperson, or it's me which I ignored, because I'm trying to check the target, quarterly target, 2019-2020. Quarter one, quarter two, quarter three, they are zero targets. If they can just tell us why there is no target on this quarter on corporate support services. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Peter. Thank you very much. I hope my apology has been forwarded.
Yes, we did.
Sure. Chair, I'm happy that I think yesterday during our discussions I was spot on
Honorable Deputy Minister, when I said at least the department must consider a scientific research as far as the land issue is concerned, so that whatever discussions or arguments are forwarded are based on facts. I think moving forward we should really consider that. But the question, I've got only two questions, Chair. In the program to host visitors from outside South Africa, I just want to check if, how do you make sure that your upcoming tour guides are empowered? That's the question. And the second one, in the hosting program again, do you have a program to promote a KRC or township tourism? Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me first put a disclaimer, honourable members and team SAT, is that at 12:20, I've been called to the House Chair Frolic's office for 12:30, so when you see me moving out, it's not a sign of disrespect. I would love to listen to all your comments, but I will keep them on the minute. So my humble apologies. The first question that I have is around the issue of the Chief Marketing Officer. What we have requested the board to bring to us as a portfolio committee is give us a structure, or give us a proposal of a structure that would make the Chief Financial Officer's position lucrative. Currently, in your structure, you have the CEO, you have the conventions bureau person, they are at one level. And you have the Chief Marketing Officer at a level below them. This person is a strategic person that markets South Africa. Is it not time that you look at how you incentivize this person or the remuneration of this person so that it is very appetizing for somebody to come in and be the Chief Marketing Officer for SAT? Why do we request, perhaps, Chairperson, you must now put time frame, is for the board to come to us with proposals on how they are going to look into their organogram and ensure that the Chief Marketing Officer is at the same level as the other executives within the within SAT, so that when you go out for recruitment, you are able to get correct people who would want to come into SAT. The second question is around the issue of the 5 in 5 strategy. I have not heard the recovery plan. Perhaps acting CEO, you were too fast for me. I thought I'm trying to hear what is the recovery for the 5 in 5 strategy, and I did not hear. Well, I've heard that you are not able to meet your targets, and I've not heard what is the strategy to actually work on the strategy, or this another strategy coming in. And then perhaps Honorable Krego, before we can even say we'll visit a visa processing center, we should be able to call Home Affairs to come to us, you know, the section that does with the visa processing, so that we understand what is their challenges and what is their what causes this backlog. Because the last time we understand that Home Affairs is no longer processing visas in many of the countries, they have given that work to a processing agency. And that processing agency does work on behalf of Home Affairs. So the glitches are also there. You know, Home Affairs brought in a company to process visas, and visas are not processed, you know. So that we first understand what is the root cause of the problem, you know. So that when we move to have an oversight, we then, as a portfolio committee, we are abreast with what Home Affairs is saying, or perhaps it's not the issue of the visa processing agency. We'll find out from our colleagues in Home Affairs what are the glitches. Because for as long as visas are not processed to come into the country, numbers are not going to look okay. we might bang on you and say you are not doing what you are supposed to do. Perhaps give us a recovery plan of the 5 and 5 strategy. But for as long as visas are not processed in time, or the process of processing visas is so cumbersome that does not make it lucrative to come to South Africa, tourists would want to go and experience the safari elsewhere in our neighboring sister countries, just on top of the equator. You know, you would just perhaps not want to come to South Africa if South Africa has so much red tape. And then the other question that I have is around the grading council. You have indicated to us that you've revamped, you've put in a basket of incentives, you are making grading benefits enticing to the establishment. But establishments are not grading their establishments. It means something is wrong. Either what you have put in your bucket of incentives is not lucrative to establishments, or somewhere, somehow, you've got the whole strategy wrong. Perhaps we would suggest that you come to the portfolio committee again and give us so that we understand this is how you are re-engineering the grading, and this is what are the baskets of benefits. Because you understand establishments are business entities, and they have to see the benefits of being graded. If they don't see the benefits of being graded, do you expect them to grade? Somebody would not want to be graded if they don't see the benefits. You know, or the benefits are not so lucrative enough to want them to grade. And then the last one is the issue of the training program, which Bashni just mentioned. It's the first time I hear of it, you know, the training program, or perhaps it might be my ignorance, but it's the first time I hear of the training that looks into training tour operators and so on. The last time I heard was you had a strategy to say the smaller tour operators must look into the areas where the big ones have not tapped into. Perhaps I just want to understand the design of the training program and the success rate, whether you are able to measure this investment that you are putting here with the numbers that are coming into the country, so that we understand and see whether there is value for the money that you are putting into such a training program, and whether the very same tour operators are able to be linked into the markets that are untapped. Are we able to then see the numbers coming from those areas into the country? I submit for now.
Thanks, my chair. Dr.
Khalifa,
thank you very much, Chairperson. I think all of us, we must acknowledge the presentation from the board. Chair, we must also welcome the board that they have now intervened on the issue of the CEO. And we hope that will be positive when the minister gets that report. Because an organization which is a lot of people who are acting, they will never be stability. Never. Because people who are acting, they are afraid of taking decisions. They don't want to, because they are not sure whether even worse if there are some investigation to their boss. So it's important that the board must speed up that process while it's fine that they have concluded the matter, and they will be handing over the report to the minister. I don't understand the strategy of 5 and 5. Not whether I'm pronouncing correct. It's important that we must get a detail around the strategy.
Because when there's a new minister, there's always a 5 year program of action. Because the term of the minister is for 5 years. And there are, Honorable Chair, new instructions in line with the State of the Nation address by the President. So it's important that the board must be able to link their strategy to the new mandate of our president. Because if he's not linked, and then people they will do things that they have been doing in the past. Because then there is no guidance from the minister. And I hope those matters are going to be addressed through this strategy. Hosting of these events, they are always reports talking about the same provinces. Your Durban, your Cape Town, Gauteng. Why we are not bidding for other provinces? Your small provinces. We always focus on these big provinces. Why we are not marketing other provinces? Because part of the responsibility of the board, their responsibility is to market tourism in the entire country, market our country. Why they are only focusing on three provinces? Can we get rid of it? What is the strategy of about village tourism? Is there any plan around your village and your township? Because our view as the portfolio committee yesterday when we interacted with the department and the minister, that we need to change the manner which we have been doing things in the past. We can't focus on the same urban areas. And the reason why people are moving from villages and townships and they come to these big urban areas is because there is nothing that we are doing, all of us, to market your villages, to market your township economy. I also agree with my colleague and the previous members on the issues of visa. It's important that we must interact with the Home Affairs section. Get the reason why there are these challenges and what is the plan to fast track this is a section around assisting our own tourists who want to come to our country. These perceptions, Honorable Chairperson, around issues of security, it's important that our portfolio committee must be able whether to invite the Minister of Police. What is the plan put by the security cluster around issues of these challenges around issues of security? Because as long the perception that our people are not safe when they come to our country, it's obvious that tourists will not come to our country. So we must take this matter very, very, very serious. The organizational structure, I also agree. Because if people apply, and then we are not sure that the reason of people are not taking those responsibilities because you are delaying to appoint them, or you don't have a better offer. Or in terms of the organizational structure, they say that no, I'm going to be a junior, whether he or she. I'm not going to take that responsibility. So it's important that we must look on the organizational structure and the responsibility of that person that is going to be appointed in the board. The last issue, Chair, what is the morale of your staff?
because if there is no teamwork, people are not pulling together. And people, they don't know about their future. And then they will never be, people will not remain in the organization because there are no effort by the board and look at an acting, acting what? CEO and acting CFO. It's like the municipality that I was working, where you have about four people acting. And then people will not come to that organization where there is no stability. So it's important that the board must fast track the issue of appointing the CFO. Because immediately you don't have a CFO, Honorable Chairperson, a CFO in an organization like the tourism board, that's a crisis. It's a crisis. Because people who are there, who are acting, like I've indicated, that people who are acting are afraid of taking decisions. So those are issues I wanted to raise.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kalipa. From my side, just brief issues. The philosophy we may want to look at the same time is that because the resources are not limitless, we must forever know that if what you have at your disposal and how you use it efficiently to the best of your ability to achieve more. So we can have 50 billion rand. But if we don't have at our disposal the best plan and the best execution methods, the 50 billion may not help us. Somebody with 1 billion may actually achieve better, more qualitative results than the one who has 50 billion rand. So I always make this argument to people that I wish it could be each one of us' philosophical approach to life and something that we must impart to future generations. So I thought I must make that opening remark, that what we have, we must always on a daily basis say, how do we make use of it that will bring much bigger returns, achievements in terms of what we want to achieve. All people who run companies and are serious about running the enterprises, that's how they should be approaching issues. When I was still responsible for the other sphere of government, and speaking to the Department of Tourism, so I'm going to raise it to you now. I used to say to them, on the ground, government has deployed all forms of human capital. It can be CDW, EPWP, all these W's that are on the ground. All because both of them is with the W. Can't the Department of Tourism make a proposal that one or two of those people, if we don't make it part of their responsibility and change the job description a little bit, if we can't achieve that, why don't we have one of them solely dedicated to dealing with matters of tourism, a CDW, solely, on a daily basis. And I was saying to them, because these people are already there, in every village, in every ward, we can, within 6 to 12 months, turn around
and we use technology with them. Each one of them, we get them this thing, the CDWs. And we say to them on a daily basis, this is how you are going to report. Whether you send pictures or messages or you record people, or, whatever, you do it on a weekly basis, monthly basis, so we don't need to hire new people. So it's about lobbying. And I used to say to them, we must lobby and lobby very hard to say, we've got the human capital on the ground, it's how we make use of it. Because when you look at all these W's on the ground, some of them are sleeping under the trees, others are standing on the side of the road, and so on. And you make one of them a very good manager who must manage the complexities of that team. So I'm urging you, and I'm sure you'll give the message to the minister. I'll also talk to her, the deputy minister, that before we look elsewhere, let's look at how we can use maximally what we have. That is proposal number one, a radical socio-economic transformation. That is what it means, among other things, and Kauleza. So the Kauleza in the radical socio-economic transformation, in my view, it's also about looking at what we have and how we can use it. That's the first point. The second one, the Honorable Kalipa raised it, is this matter of rural and village. Kruger National Park, if you categorize it, will be rural. Right? And all these other big private commercial game farms will be rural. Because they're not in the cities. So if you do a report on the activities of rural tourism and how it attracts people and so on, from a percentage perspective, it will show you that you are indeed attracting people to the rural areas. But actually, when you look deeper, you'll realize that this rural is Kruger National Park, it's Mayeledi, it's Pilanesberg, and so on. And the expectation, which has never happened in the last 26 years of democracy, is that the people in the surrounding area, this rural called Pilanesberg or Kruger National Park, must visit the park. You've got the statistics, they tell a different story. Going forward, we will then have to say, how do we induce village tourism initiatives? Village tourism initiatives. And how do we make those people in the village aware of their potential to ignite tourism in their area? Once upon a time, I called the Department of Arts and Culture with the Department of Tourism. So you may want to speak to the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture. And I say to them, you know that to create a tourist attraction type of infrastructure in a village is almost close to not using even a cent. Because in a village, if we have spoken to a traditional leader there and we speak to the people and we say to them, we want to create a cultural village, and everything that is old, all the artifacts that we used to use, foremothers, forefathers, and so on, we bring them to one location where the chief has said we must, we can congregate and so on. And you bring our old mothers and fathers in the village to become storytellers. And instead of the Department of Health taking their chronic medications to the clinics and the hospitals, the community health development workers must actually bring them there and massage them on a daily basis there. And they, these senior citizens, they do storytelling. And we record that and we use social media and other media platforms to market globally. And also make sure that all the schools, all of them, in a district or municipality, they visit that area where senior citizens are going to be relating stories to them about the village and so on, and other visitors. You don't need money to do those things. But the problem is government is this compartmentalization, siloism, between the departments, because they will tell you that, no, this thing that you're saying is good, but it's not in the APP. So in the APP, it doesn't reflect anywhere that you can get senior citizens to come and do storytelling, and that's how you attract people. And those in the Department of Health will refuse to bring the chronic medications to them. And I was saying to them, through our EPWP, we can get young people who can help them with checking their blood pressure, sugar, and on a daily basis. And they communicate that by using a phone to a hospital to say, we have checked 50 of them here today, and so on. And the problem is resolved. So we are looking for money instead of looking for solutions. So before we think solution, we want money. That's where the problem is. So I'm really challenging you to thinking beyond the convention. So you must deconventionalize the approach of SAT so that people can think outside the box. And I was happy when the minister yesterday was alluding to what I love most, rebranding, repositioning, and renewal. Because for me, everything that exists can be rebranded, it can be repositioned, it can be renewed. What we need to do as humanity is to say on a daily basis, are there new ideas that we can bring forth on how we can make this thing work better? So I hope we can look at that going forward. This thing about land expropriation without compensation, we don't have control on perceptions, right? It's what you do, what you resolve, and what you say that creates perceptions. It's also what you do, what you say, that can deal with the perceptions. So our focus must be on, there's no question about it. There's going to be land expropriation without compensation, right? How we package our communication to the rest of the world so that it can communicate, as Khalifa was saying, the message that is consistent with what the president was saying. We are doing this thing in line with the Constitution. Our preamble of the Constitution says we are dealing with injustices of our past. It's not about reversing the gains of building a non-racial South Africa. We've got challenges of dealing with problems of gender in our society. But also it's an opportunity for you as an investor, as a visitor in South Africa, and these are the opportunities for you in this bigger scheme of things of land expropriation without compensation. And beyond the period of land expropriation without compensation, we see these advantages for our country and the rest of the world. So it's how we fight it. So I'll suggest that SAT must speak to international relations and all the Department of Land Reform and people who are responsible for communication. Every decision you make, you must be able, before you communicate it, to say what is the best communication strategy after taking the decision. Because it's about perception. So, honorable members, we'll have to erase those perceptions. Even ourselves as a committee after meeting with the department, we must say, in our communication, we are happy in the manner in which the department is putting in place initiatives to communicate better this resolve by South Africans. And we also give an oomph to it on how we communicate as a committee. So a little bit of work will be done from our side on how to communicate this particular matter. Another department, we as a committee that will have to raise this matter with honorable members, is the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and so on. Because we must confront this matter. The departments must address the deep-seated fears of the minorities, particularly the Afrikaners. Because if that matter can be addressed, the fear of land expropriation without compensation, the Afrikaners who are embedded with fear themselves will better communicate the message better thereafter. Because they will have been clarified. And they will be clearer thereafter to say this thing is not about dissipation of Afrikaners and those who control land and so on, but it's about bigger benefit for the country. So I think we must engage that department to say, confirm the match and speak to the Afrikaners. Don't run out of patience. Because they are the ones who are communicating a negative message about fears. I mean, if you can go to Afrikaners who have migrated to Australia, for instance, and you speak to them, this is a big problem for them. It's one of the reasons why some of them are leaving. So as South Africans, we must address the matter. So I will suggest, honorable members, that we confront the monster and deal with the monster once and for all and take it out of the way. That's the radical which must imbue our approach. So we need to do that. Segment South Africans and the black and African population don't have an issue with land expropriation without compensation. They don't. It's the Afrikaner. And the Afrikaner must continue to be part of South Africa. The Freedom Charter says South Africa belongs to all who live in it. You can't chase them away. They're South Africans. So we need to sit down with them and address this particular matter without any fear of contradiction. So that in South Africa we are one on this matter. And in future, you will have eliminated it because everybody will be celebrating the fact that all of us are now embracing this resolve as a country. In future, if in our report, we can just indicate interprovincial movements of people. And that will help. So that we can see the patterns of movement domestically. Where are people? So that we don't assume that people are going to Cape Town, because people from Marble Hall will not afford to come to Cape Town. But I can tell you that people from Marble Hall, they are going somewhere interprovincially. So if we can try and do that, that will be helpful. Yes, we must meet with the Department of Safety and... Is it called Safety and Security?
Yes.
Okay. It's because I used to call it Community Safety and Liaison. Safety and Security. Maybe they must change their communication strategy also. Instead of releasing, yes, they must release them, crime statistics. But they must also release statistics and activities in areas that are not afflicted by crime. If we focus more on areas that are not affected by crime, that percentage is higher than areas that are affected by crime. So you release statistics on areas that are not affected by crime, and you say, be that as it may, there are just isolated incidents of criminality that are still taking place. It's different from releasing statistics that are saying crime is very high. Because there are many, many other areas that are not affected by crime.
So it's about communication. It's about communication. One honorable member was saying here that yes, the scribing in Cape Town is true, but what we must communicate is areas where criminality has not taken place in Cape Town, as an example. Instead of communicating more incidents of criminality in isolated areas, so that we can show patriotism and turn around the perception about our country. So I would say you and the department be a bit more aggressive in engaging other departments, particularly around communication. Communication is everything. Because now it's worse with the advent of technology. As we are sitting here, we don't know what has been communicated from the morning until now to the rest of the world, through all social media platforms. Honorable Gumbi had raised the matter about our embassies. I will also suggest that we must up the tempo in terms of using our embassies, wherever they are, to communicate a message better about South Africa, so that they don't say that we are still going to find out what are these incidents about. It's proactive planning, proactive communication, and so on, by this embassy, so that instead of doing duplication, we rather rule reinforcement, and we do some track with them. Over to you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable members. We will share the questions amongst ourselves. I'll just take a few general questions, and then I'll ask the colleagues to come in on the rest. Just a few points, Chairperson. When you were talking about, as the chair, you were talking about the involvement of the rest of South Africa in terms of in-tourism. And for me, that's the essence of what we call We Do Tourism. Because We Do Tourism is not just about being welcoming to tourists when they come to South Africa. Is to get the rest of the nation to know the importance of tourism, to benefit from us prioritizing tourism as a nation, and also participate within that. And that requires a number of things. And in your last comment about communication, I think, Chair, is that, so if we know why we do tourism and why is it important in terms of meeting our country's goals, and we speak the same language, and probably be unified in action, then we are able to start even dealing with issues of communication. So for us as a board, We Do Tourism is such an important enabler in terms of getting meeting our strategic goals. So that's the first point Chair would like to make. So We Do Tourism is important. Secondly, within that, there is the inter-sphere collaboration. In the presentation, we spoke about the engagements that we have with provinces. Those are critical because all 9 provinces do have agencies that are responsible for tourism in the provinces. Some of them are doing tourism development, as well others done in the provincial departments, but we're all involved, others are doing just marketing, so we're all involved in tourism. And what we've done at our level is, because there's a, at a CEO level, they've established a CEO's forum, which meets and say, how are we going to, because our resources are limited. And to your point, Chair, about a billion and more, that we can't all go and do the same thing. And we need to do things that leverage on each. We need to leverage on each other. We need to coordinate, and we need to speak the same language. So there's a CEO's forum, But at the board level, we started a process now to meet the provincial chair as well, so that we sit and we talk together and find ways. We had our initial first meeting because of our new board, because our board was appointed in June last year at Tourism Indaba. And we had agreed that we're going to have another engagement between us and the provincial chair. Around, and I would just like Bashni to just show one slide from a different presentation on the five, on the supercharging and five and five. Okay. I can't even see it myself, but that. So what is this? And so that's the one thing that's important. And to Honourable Kalipa's point about strategy over strategy, we're working on a 2030 vision, okay? Which vision is broken down into different chunks of the administration. And so part of the journey that we have to walk here is to say, when there is a new administration and there's a new mandate to us, working within a broader framework of still trying to achieve the objectives by 2030, what are the things that we're going to do differently in the next 5 years? And that's what the issue is. And how do we align our actions now so that they relate to what we're trying to achieve in, by 2030? So our reading of it, the issue is not changing direction, but it's actually aligning with the priorities. And so that's what we're trying to do. So given the fact that we already had five and five in place, what we said, if we are not getting the numbers that we need to get, and the deputy minister mentioned it to me that in fact we need to get this back to the committee because it was raised by the previous portfolio committee. So we'll make sure that it's sent to the committee, or we can come and do a presentation. But it's basically got six legs that we want to really look at and do things differently. And this what is called supercharging 5.5, it's got six components. But we're working very closely with provincial authorities and the industry.
I don't
want to
call it super.
Yeah. So with your permission, Chair, maybe we can send you what we've developed because it has come from the previous committee. But we also would like to, at another date, depending on the committee's program, to come and talk about what are those things specifically, because each one of those six activities there have got, firstly, data behind it on how we get to those things, and that includes analysis, what happens in this market, why is this market going up and not that market going up. It includes also analyzing what's happening in terms of domestic. And so if we can just, Chair, through you, have a dedicated session around what is that, and how then does it respond to what was in SONA as announced by the President. So I would propose that, but we can send it for now, but then we can have a conversation around that. Just another quick one, Chair, is around the structure of SAT. There's a CEO who is at one level, and the next level, all executives are the same level. Okay. But what we've been struggling with in terms of the market is that we are not able to get people at the salaries that we're paying at executive level. So part of the conversation that we are having as a board is that how do we deal with that issue? Because chief marketing officer for an organization that's primarily about marketing is critical. Okay? So we accept what the members are saying, and we're equally concerned about the need to fill that position as much as possible. We have thought that we had found a candidate until yesterday. So if I had come here on Tuesday, I would have said we've made an offer to someone. But today, because it's a Thursday, it's a different story. So that's what it is. So, and we have been in conversation with the candidate or the preferred candidate. So we need to go back to the drawing board. In terms of that, but in terms of level, they all executives are all the same level. And the last point I would like to comment on, honourable members, is on the issue of just the staff morale. This is the one issue that is on the board's agenda. We look at it and we get reports from management on how they're doing. What we've done on our part. And we're starting to see the results. I was giving the colleagues the feedback that we started a team and individual coaching program for the managers. Because remember, there are issues about the work environment, but there's also issues about the day-to-day management that people might experience. And there are issues that are more objective or subjective in the organization. So as a board, we've said one of the actions that the management, which we're starting to see results. The program started, was it October last year? Yeah. And it started October last year, and we are investing in it. And also we are getting, on a quarterly basis, just progress in terms of staff morale. Are we there yet? No, we're not. But we are seeing improvement. Should I leave it at that? And then I'll come back if there's anything else, Chair, that my colleagues have not covered.
Thank you, Chair.
That's
with the Grading Council.
Thank you, CEO. Thank you, Chairperson. You're here behind the pillar.
Yeah, we can hear
the voice. I can hear you, but I can't see you. And thank you also for the questions. It's good to hear so many questions coming up because it means we're getting more and more attention, which is always a good thing in my feeling. The first question I want to address is the one about the Northern Cape and why there is, from a domestic tourism perspective, relatively small numbers, but it's seeing growth in terms of grading properties or grading establishments. And I think the thing to really note there is that the Northern Cape, whilst it is an enormous province, has got a very small infrastructure. There's many, many wide open spaces. And if you have a look at the numbers on page 18, it's actually only got 142 graded establishments throughout the province. So there's still a lot of work to do, and obviously we're working with the province to make sure we bring grading up to where it needs to be in terms of focus. Addressing question relating to grading fees, and maybe what I should potentially do before that is just to give some context. At present, grading in South Africa is an annual process. You are required to be graded every 12 months. It is still a voluntary process, and we have 5,200 odd properties at the moment in the grading system, which is impressive, bearing in mind that it's a voluntary system, and it is levied, which means we charge a fee to be graded. Then moving from there onto what the actual fees are, we use three different components to determine what the grading fee should be. Those components are the number of rooms in the property, the average room rates that they're charging for those rooms, as well as the category. So the category can be any one of a number, it could be hotels, bed and breakfast, guest houses, and so on. And the intention behind using these different variables is to make sure that it is affordable to the small properties who only charge 500 rand a room and only have three, and then obviously those that can afford a little bit more, the bigger hotels, 200 or 300 rooms are charged 2,000 or 3,000 a night, can afford slightly more. On average, at present, across all of our members, the rate that you are paying for grading annually is in the region of 3,500 rand a year. That excludes access to what we have been provided by the department, which is an incentive program, a grading incentive program, that allows for up to a 90% discount on grading fees. There are certain criteria that the department requires from these properties in order to access the funding, and those are things like BEE certificates, the registration certificates, public liability insurance, and so on. And then we give an extra 10% to those properties who are collecting the 1% tourism levy as an incentive to them to further collect and drive, obviously, collections and revenue from that perspective. there was an invitation from one of the members to join this committee again and discuss the mandates of the Grading Council, that as well as the mandates of the Tourism Business Council of South Africa. We welcome that and would gladly share with you our mandate and our ways of working. There was also quite a number of questions around the benefits of grading. I think, firstly, I want to indicate the members that were previously part of the previous committee would have been familiar with what we termed a basket of benefits. After much analysis and having a look at the utilization of that particular basket of benefits and the cost associated, we chose to discontinue it at the end of last year. But in addition to that, there are a number of benefits which I can highlight some now, but as I said, if we do come back and get involved in a slightly more detailed discussion with the committee, happy to take that further. The biggest benefit of being graded is your opportunity to position yourself, both from a competitive set perspective, so that you're able to attract the right kind of guest, and also from a pricing perspective. Obviously, you don't want a smaller B&B competing with a five-star hotel, and what the grading system does is allows you to differentiate yourself. We, as of the 1st of April, introduced new grading standards to South Africa, which took a number of months to finalize, and included in that are a number of really exciting initiatives, we term them accolades, which are differentiating or abilities to differentiate themselves from different kinds of properties and drive specific niche markets to the properties, which we believe is being very well received and being utilized at the moment. In addition to that, National Treasury is the National Travel Procurement Framework, very closely links star grading to the utilization of accommodation establishments and venues for all state employees, so that's a big benefit. And in South African tourism too, when we spend money hosting international media, international trade in South Africa, we make sure that we are using graded establishments as a reward for contributing to the positioning of South Africa as this quality assured destination. And then the last one which comes to mind, which is not exhaustive, is obviously participation in the Lilizela Tourism Awards, which grading is also a requirement for. There was a couple of questions on, sorry, I'm jumping around a bit, but I'm just jotted them down as the questions came through, on the declines in numbers in the KZN region in terms of grading numbers. I just again want to refresh or relook at page 18. Of all of the different provinces, the KZN region is still the third largest. They have close on 700 graded establishments in the province. And the 4% decline actually translates to only about 20 properties, so it's not a big number. And there are various things that could affect this. In some cases, products are busy with renovations, so they choose not to grade until such time as the renovations have been completed. In some cases, the smaller bed and breakfast, self-catering facilities change their business model, so they, instead of doing overnight rentals, they do monthly rentals or more long-term rentals. In some cases, where product owners are not seeing the necessary returns, they close the business down and sell it on. So there's various different reasons that could contribute to this, but we are working very closely with both South Coast Tourism and the KZN province to make sure that we introduce projects to make sure that grading remains something that people are interested in doing and see the benefit in doing. Hosting, there was a question around township tourism. So the brand experience team, who are responsible for building itineraries for our both domestic and international hosting services, one of their KPIs is the transformation. So we're making sure that we're looking at transformed businesses. We also look at making sure that we address issues of seasonality, but we also make sure that we are, it's a seasonality, it's a transformation, and geographic spread is the other one. So I want to make sure that we're making sure these particular itineraries are not just coming into South Africa into one province, but it represents at least two or three, sometimes four provinces in one particular hosting, thereby giving each province and the cities, towns, small villages, whatever it might be, in each of the provinces the opportunity to showcase themselves to these hostings. And then we also, from a grading perspective, have a number of engagements and relationships with the provinces. In one in particular with the Northwest Province, the department there, which was the sort of pilot project, is they help us and identify products in the province that they want to grade or they want to actively get involved in from an enterprise development perspective. They identify them, we send our assessors out there to go and work with the owners, and we focus specifically on what they call VS villages, small towns, and dorpies. So it's not focused on the big metros, it's actually focused on the smaller properties in the smaller areas. And we're doing that now at the moment with the Northern Cape, something new that we've decided. decided to do with them. And again, as I said, we're focusing on a new development with KZN and South Coast Tourism. We have existing arrangements and agreements in place with Gauteng, specifically Johannesburg Tourism, as well as Tshwane Tourism, and a lot of it is around them positioning either the city or the municipality or the province as a quality assured destination that visitors, whether they be domestic or international, can trust in terms of using it for whatever needs they have, business travel, leisure travel, business events, and so on. I think, members, if I'm not mistaken, I think that covers most of the grading questions. Oh, my apologies. There was one more about a mentoring process, which I actually think you're referring to a mentoring process which was done by Tsohosan. It was called the Doctor Guest House.
Yeah.
So it's a private sector initiative, and we do actually have a lot of members, which are graded members, as a result of that particular process. We have a very close relationship with Tsohosan based on the volumes of hotels and rooms that they have in the country, and it is something that they continue with and we support in terms of providing those particular guest houses with quality assurance, advice, and guidance. Okay? I think that's all. Thank you, Chair.
Excellent. What's the last? Okay.
I have a lot of questions there, but we'll take guidance from you,
okay,
whether we can submit written, but we, I think the team is ready to answer if you don't have time.
Yeah, I think try and respond. And we will not reject the written responses. They will be very useful. Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair and members. Just very quickly, I think, and we will really also welcome to come and just explain the whole bidding process and what do we talk about when we talk about bidding. Because a lot of bids are made, you know, where they want to place the meeting is really with the client, you know, like if it is the ophthalmology, because it just comes to my mind that, you know, in a year's time we will host for the first time on the continent the Ophthalmology Congress, the International Congress, and hopefully get 10,000 of those skilled people and thought leaders, you know, to our country. So it is also about what that, you know, the sector that they want to focus on. And the reason, and I just want to say, the reason why we see Cape Town being, you know, so much more, hosting so much more meetings, is because of the medical fraternity. You know, the medical meetings, they want to be here, first heart transplant, you know, so there's all kinds of stuff that go around it. They are the number one destination in Africa and the Middle East, and they ranked 63 in the world. Whilst, you know, some of the other cities are really way behind that. But we are not just focusing on international, and I think that is important. We started to roll out a local association or a national association program where we also will support local associations to rotate around the country. And one of the agreements that we have, because we also have a coordinating forum where all the provinces sit in a coordinating forum and we talk specifically about hosting of meetings and conferences and conventions. And what we will do in this instance is really to make sure, and I call it not fit bit, but bit fit, you know, so that we get our professionals and our academics to start to see the value of bidding for these events. Because I just want to say to the members, and I know that members that were before in the committee will know, there are 12,000 association meetings that are taken around the world. So the, you know, there's huge potential, and in Africa we only host something like 340 of those. So there's huge potential, but I think the most important thing is capacity building in our provinces, and therefore we also, I just yesterday had a very successful bid workshop, as we call it, with the province of Eastern Cape and specifically Nelson Mandela Bay, that now also looking at building a new convention center and also having a full-fledged, resourced convention bureau. And so we, I can call, talk about the Northern Cape that we are doing the same. We also work very close with your previous province chair, Northwest. You know, to make sure that we also from, I think from a government perspective, that we also are able to attract these meetings and help these people to, you know, to host their conventions in our country. Then the second thing that I just quickly want to talk about is the SMEs and the participation in our platforms. We are working very close with the Department of Tourism on the Tourism Incentive Program. It's a whole process, so it's not just ITAO. We hosted or we allowed all participants of close to between the two platforms, and I'm talking our Meetings Africa and Indaba, 150 SMEs, for 3 years now, where they come onto the platform and really turn business, those platforms into business for them. So it's a program that we are working close with the Department of Tourism. They are the ones that go through a process. People apply for the process for the participant at the at these international also specifically platforms, and they can only participate 3 times. They go out and then the next group of people also start to participate. But it is a program that is under review with the department. I know that the minister also very much have interest in it, and so it's something that we definitely will continue to work on and make sure that these people are not, you know, they once there and we leave them and there's no continuous building into the economy. I think that is it. Thank you so much.
Whether you still have time, enough time.
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
Honorable Gumba Gumba.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair, for just to come back to the issue, because I still have a doubt, Chair, on the response with regards to the, it's just one question to say, or request. To you, Chair, that we need to get a report on the SMEs that closed down their bed and breakfast. I know that they were the ones that we had on your database, especially during 2010. From 2010 up to 2019, how many of those bed and breakfasts from SMEs have been closed down? And therefore, so that we are able to deal with this the capital monopoly in the tourism industry. We need to deal with that. So closing down of those B and B's means that there is a monopoly that is playing in the tourism industry in terms of accommodation that we need to deal with, and that are actually closing down those small businesses. And the involvement of tourism authority to deal with that issue. We want to know, maybe if we can get the report from you, Chair. Thank you.
No problem. SAT.
Thank you, Chair. There was a question around which is the fresh thinking around our investment, and I think the chairperson of the board has already highlighted our supercharged 5-5 strategy, which will come in advice. There's also a question around how do we begin to quantify some of the issues that we raised in the barriers. We run brand tracker studies 3 times a year, so we should be able to, you know, through the Chief Strategy Officer, come back and present to this committee around the key findings. There was an issue around water. Specifically, the water crisis that we're talking about was that day zero, which Honorable Tsheko has mentioned, because it happened at a time where it was a big booking period, particularly for key markets in our portfolio. There was, Honorable Gumbi, you asked around our participation. You said you're a young person and Durban July is happening this weekend. In fact, that is one of the, what we do is, you would see all our markets have profiles. So we profile all the markets. So there would be markets which are interested in events. So in this instance, I've got the entire West Africa team hosting media from West Africa, hosting influencers from West Africa at Durban July this weekend. In fact, they started earlier, because we use those signature events to actually showcase what South Africa has to offer. And that West Africa market is really big on those lifestyle events, so definitely. And this is a partnership with TKZN. We don't do it alone. Our partners are part of it. You asked us about what's going on in India and what would be the ideal situation. Of course, visa on arrival and e-visa is an ideal. What are we dealing with? In India and China, we're dealing with systems issues as well. Systems are old. They're always down. I mean, if you look at China, I just was on the phone with the people on the ground who say, I need to report facts in Parliament. So they're saying, last month, for example, you had a system down for 2 weeks. And that's an issue. The other thing is you have VFS, But the processing still happens at a home affairs level. And if the system is not working, it's a problem. Volume is an issue in China. You can't have two people processing, so you need more. And I'm happy to mention, Chair, that we work very closely with the department, so we've got our deputy DGO sitting right there, Anime. Every time there are issues on the ground, we escalate to her and she touches base with all the relevant departments, because there was that question around, do we escalate these matters as they come along? So we do. There was a question around Airbnb. Of course, Airbnb is there, and any other platform is there to actually advance tourism. And we support any platform that advances growth in tourism. However, we do believe that a playing field should be leveled, and we do support the tourism amendment bill that the minister has tabled. So we look forward to it being finalised, so that we can move on and maximise the space. Data collection, you deal with the data collection. SMEs, you dealt with it. There was a question around direct flight to Mumbai. And the announcement that was made by the President, and what is it that we're doing to ensure that we push this forward. I need to mention to the Chair and the Committee that SA Tourism belongs to what we call Air Access Committees of Gauteng, Western Cape, KZN, and recently Nelson Mandela Bay. So what we do is we partner with the provinces, because they've got route development. I think AXA is part of that, and they bid for airlines to fly into South Africa. Of course, tourism is one a critical element to deciding whether the route is profitable or not. But we know that there's a strong element around trade, because airlines make money at the value of the flight and on top. What we play a role in is ensuring that we sustain that route from a tourism marketing point of view. So we do ensure that we have quarterly sessions or quarterly meetings with these provinces. We're trying to look at whether we can identify or start a new one around domestic, because the feeder system is an issue as well. So it doesn't help having a direct flight from New York, which is landing now in December in Cape Town. How do we then ensure that when they get to Cape Town, they actually travel to other parts of the country for geospread and seasonality? There was the issue around rural tourism, which I don't think we have all the answers around rural tourism. We're doing pockets of it from a grading council point of view to assist identifying those products. But here we will rely very heavily on the department, because there is a function around destination development. And we need to begin to have a collaborative way to actually develop this destination from a product point of view at in the rural space and township, so that as SA Tourism we have something to market. So that collaboration that needs to happen together with the provinces and of course local government. There was a question around when we do program for hosting visitors in the country, do we empower tour guides? So what we do is we send our shopping list to the department. And the department, we are looking for tour guides who can speak German, who can speak French or any other language. So what they do, they've got a program, skills development program to train guides. As soon as they're trained, we know that those are the ones that we use. Currently, we're going out through the visitor experience guys, saying we're calling on unemployed youth so that we can train them. So when we host, they are the ones who would manage my chair is saying time up. But I think we've covered most of the questions that came up. What we will do, Chair, is we will, as undertaken, package it and put it in the report, so that at least you have a sense of what's going on. I'll hand over back to my chair to sum up.
No, Chairperson, yeah. All right.
Oh, Honorable Khalifa. My apologies for that. Chair, I was going to suggest, Chair, before the chairperson summarized. If it's possible, Chair, that we must invite all this provisional board, the portfolio committee, to come before the committee. Whether they finish in the manner which we are doing well. It's very important. Because we are keeping raising these issues and we are not getting answers. I mean, we are told that provinces, they have certain work that they are doing. In our understanding, they're supposed to be finished. But provinces differ. So I would suggest that it's important that we must invite them, and there will be a second round, invite the board, including all those provisional board before the committee, which is we can then, because the township tourism and the ruler tourism is going to be our part of our priority. And the small towns. It's going to be part of our priority. It's how it's going to drive our committee. Because we are from our conferences, from our ruling party, and our people, they have been complaining around this matter. We can't come in these committees again, come with the same answers, and there are no solutions. So I wanted to raise that one, Honorable Chairperson, before the Chairperson.
Yes, you are right, Honorable Kalipa, and I can assure you the chair here will look at Stats SA, which will demonstrate to all and sundry that embeddedness of poverty in terms of sequence in this country, it's village. That's where poverty is. From there, it's township. Then the last one will be your small towns. Small dollar piece. Your Johannesburg, Pretoria, Cape Town, they can take care of themselves. But our people in the periphery, that's where the problem. So I'm sure we are on the same wavelength on that one. Yeah, of alleviating poverty in the villages, the townships, and our small towns through tourism.
Thank you, Chair. What I was going to say is that what we'll do, we've noted all of the questions and we'll provide written answers, but we'll also in that response make a recommendation where we think we need a little bit more detailed engagement with the committee. And we look forward to the meeting that's proposed. Thank you, Chair.
The indication from Mr. Boltino next to me here, so I call him in an Italian way, Mr. Boltino, and next to me here was that if we can try and bulk off the things we want, if they can come before Wednesday. We are adopting the report of this committee on Tuesday because we want to help you. As a committee, that's why we were saying to the minister and the deputy yesterday that we are not antagonists. No, not at all. So we'll be doing a lot of proactive oversight and, as I was saying, reciprocative relationship between the committee and the department. All the proposals that have been made by honourable members here are agreed to. All of them, the quantifications, there was another recommendation by Honorable Krambok around, which was not, I call it properly now, Krambok, I'm on course now, around countries where the numbers might be low, but because of the currency strength or weakness of that particular kind of volumes will be higher. All these recommendations that have been made about talking to other sector departments and the other boards and all these relationships that we have to build inter-spherist approach with provinces and local Department of Safety, all these other departments, Home Affairs. So there's a lot of work that we have to do
to make sure that we contribute to the growth of the economy and make this country a better place to live in, quantum by quantum. So quarterly, annually, we should be able to be making that particular progress. When you look at the budget, it's about 53% of the budget that goes to SAT. 53%, somewhere there. So you're actually the department from, if you speak budget. So we need to up our tempo. But we are happy with the time you have invested in preparing for this meeting, the flexibility you have exercised in terms of yesterday's logistics, the less hours you have had for sleep, because sleeping is important for humanity to perform better. It's not in our control, right? It's in the system. So resting, sleeping is important. So we are happy that you were able to sacrifice your sleeping hours to be here. You sacrifice your breakfast, many other things that may be family related and so on, which we can't speak about now, which you have sacrificed. So we are very happy that you came to the committee. We will have more structured interactions because we are going to have adopted schedule of meetings as a committee so that you can predict what is going to happen in terms of our interactions between yourselves and as the committee. Otherwise, we are very happy. We think it's a good start. As I have said, don't just click fires. We don't throw stones. So we are people who will always interact in a positive manner. And thanks for everything. Give our regards to both the minister and the deputy minister. We will meet on Wednesday during the debate of the budget of the department. Meet and chat. God bless. This meeting is closed.